You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Rates as low as 0% for 84 months OAC right now. Discover your new road in a Chev this September. Pick it up at lakewoodchev.com. Ryan Shock from TSN joins us. And congratulations to you and everyone on a tough broadcast last night. Went off without a hitch, and you know, it was a very emotional game. I think it's one of the few hockey games where most Canadians across the country watching that were strongly rooting for Humboldt. And I'm even guessing that fans of the Nipawin Hawks were kind of like, you know what, if we lose tonight, we're totally okay with it. You know, the result I don't think mattered. It was the fact that the town and all the people and the team showed up, and now they can, take another step forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think for sure it would have been nice if they were able to pull out the win, for sure. But I think everybody kind of understood that the score was pretty irrelevant in that game, and that those young men were going out there with heavy hearts. And I thought they did just an unbelievable job. They competed, you know, they set aside whatever weight they were feeling, and you know, they did right by the game, which I think it was important. And yeah, they came close, man. They had a few chances, like right down to the end, there were some close chances. I just love how Braden Cameron and Derek Patter were both right in the mix and front and center for a lot of it. So yeah, it was, you know what, from a hockey standpoint, for those boys that had to engage in that game, I thought it was an excellent night, and those kids did really, really well.
What about as far as the energy in the arena prior to the game? What was that? How would you define that feeling?
Yeah, I think it was, it was definitely, there was weight because everybody knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. So everybody was, it was kind of this anticipation. I mean, honestly, for me, you know, I wasn't mingling about and milling about. I was running around with an absolutely insane amount of stuff to figure out and organize. And it's chaos, like a 4-hour broadcast with no commercials. The logistics of trying to do that for everybody involved are pretty nuts. So, you know, for us, it was very busy. But for the people here, you know, the families gathered. Man, it would have been 2 hours before the game. The family started arriving, and they had their own separate little area where they could go be on their own if they wanted. There was, you know, we were able to be kind of in and around that area a little bit for some of our projects that we're doing. And you know, there was hugging and crying and laughing and all the things you would expect. So super emotional for the families that were there, and that was before the game. And I mean, like, I don't know. There were so many different emotions through that game and, you know, through the ceremony even before the game. You know, Tyler Smith taking the knee and the moment of silence. And it was almost too much emotion to kind of comprehend and process. You just tried to survive it.
Let's shift gears. As we're joined by Ryan Rashog. Did a fantastic job last night in Humboldt. It sounds like, according to Tom McCullum, that Puljujärvi will be starting on the third line next to Ryan Strom. Where do you come out on this, what seems to be a debate of where Jesse Puljujärvi should play? or start the year, I should say.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that Tom had said that. I've kind of been engrossed in this other stuff. So he basically said he could envision trying him on that third line. Imagine... Oiler fans are just loving the idea of him starting on the third line.
Well, not envision him. His exact words when we asked him was, we feel Jesse's going to be a big part of the team. We want him to get comfortable and confident early. I spoke to Jesse. I spoke to his teammates. And, Jesse and all them feel he's most comfortable. And starting with Stromer, that was Todd's word, not mine. And that's where he'll start. And as he said, he goes, you know what? Doesn't mean he's locked in there, but that's where he's going to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, so obviously what they're trying to do is take pressure out of the equation for him, right? And not because he can't handle it or because, you know, he's still very, very young. So it's clear that when Todd McClellan takes a look at Jesse Puljujärvi's situation and says, what can we do to help this young player? Managing pressure, it sounds to me, is an answer. So by starting him on a third line with a center who isn't expected to get 70 points this year, they're taking the pressure off and they feel like that's what's going to help them. So we'll see. We'll see how he responds to that, because I think in their ideal view of Puljujärvi, it won't be long before he will have the speed and the skill and the ability to drive his own line. and that maybe they envision that by the end of the year, he's in fact driving that line himself and producing from that spot. So remove the pressure based on line mates and let him see what he can do. It's an interesting way to go about it. You know, you could make the argument that if he's skilled and expected to produce, you got two guys that are going to give him his best chance of doing that. Why wouldn't you put him in that spot? To me, that answer signifies pressure is the answer.
Well, I think the other part is we're joined by Ryan Rashog from TSN. I think it makes pretty clear that the spot that's open is that second line right wing spot. So who pops in there? Is that Toby Reeder? And if so, where does that leave Yamamoto?
It's Toby Reeder / Yamamoto. Those will be the two guys gunning for that position next to Leon Draisaitl. It's a good spot. It's a good spot for whichever one of them gets it, because Reeder's in a contract year, and Yamamoto's trying to become an established NHL player. To me, it's a two-horse race for that position. I mean, maybe somebody else works their way into the fray. Maybe Kajula gets something going early offensively. Who knows whether he gets a look over there or not. I've never really loved him on the other side. Or in the top six, quite frankly. But Kyle Yamamoto and Toby Reeder, I think they'll let it be a jump ball. And I think, as we talked about before, Greg, I think they're going to let their decision lie with how Yamamoto looks and whether he grabs that thing or not. And if he does, I don't think they're going to get in his way.
Possibly. I think Reeder probably has the advantage, to be honest. Proven veteran player there, and they'll rotate him. I'm curious. I think the first few games, I'm very curious what the lineups will be in Calgary and Vancouver, because they've got 62 players in camp. All the 27 rookies came here. Now, Austin Safin didn't skate at any of the rookie games, right? He's a little bit banged up right now, so we'll see if he's even eligible this weekend. So, technically maybe it's 61. And Scotty Upshaw, if he doesn't pass his physical, well, that could be down to 60. So I think you might see a real heavy dose of young guys the first two games, and then the final five games here in North America is when we'll probably see more combinations together.
Yeah, and I think there's something to that. Things have to be given the breathing room to take shape. You got to allow for at least opportunities for people to surprise you a little bit. Right, you got to keep your mind open to the idea that maybe some guys will step into spots where you didn't necessarily have them in written in pen. So I think they'll do that. They'll take an open mind, but at the same time, he's got the whiteboard in his office. I've seen it, and he's writing names down on it, and they're formulating a plan for what night number one looks like. And while I'm sure they're keeping an open mind, I don't know how much actually changes between now and then.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, of course, Darnell Nurse leaving town. Some people think, oh, my goodness, that means they're so far apart. I think that they've closed the gap a little bit. Some people have suggested that because Kajula and Koskinen got overpaid a bit, that that's why the Oilers can't sign Nurse. I really don't see the connection. I think this just comes down to them not wanting to necessarily reset the market for an RFA defenseman when you look at all comparables. Right, because Koskinen is a UFA. It's whether we like it or not, that's UFAs get paid more. Right, that's just historically that's how it goes. And actually, I did talk to two other GMs in the last week who told me flat out that their teams had made an offer of over $2 million as well, which actually kind of surprised me. But nonetheless, there clearly was a lot of interest from other teams in Koskinen, which kind of surprising, I guess, or that shows how important teams think goaltending is. But Nurse and the Oilers, like as Stratty said, he doesn't think if he missed 3 or 4 days, it's a big deal. But if he's not here by like next Friday or Saturday, then it starts to hurt both sides.
It already hurts both sides. I'm going to say that. If he doesn't start camp, it hurts both sides. Let's not underestimate what, a player not showing up for training camp with a contract and starting to miss out on days of training camp. No, he's a pro. He's been around for a few years now. I don't think it's going to cause major damage or anything like that, but no good. I mean, the situation is clearly no good, but it's not the first time we've seen it. It's not the last time we'll see it. And it makes you wonder what the expectation moving forward is if they ever do get down to hammering out that long-term deal. Where Nurse's camp feels his value is, and if there's a real disconnect between what they sense his value is and what the Oilers do. And you can throw all the comps out you want. You got to agree on the comps. and you can go by the numbers and this and that, but Darnell has some intangibles in his game, and there's other ways to value certain things, and it is an opinion at the end of the day, and if their opinion is he's at a certain level and the Oilers aren't sure or willing to go there, then he ain't going to be at camp.
Ryan Meshaug joins us, talking all things NHL and Oilers related. Shogger, when you look at this situation with Darnell Nurse, when's the next pressure point?
I think when you get down to your last couple of exhibition games, which would be kind of his last opportunity to step in and get anything meaningful done before the regular season. Plus, with the Oilers going overseas, I mean, talk about a pressure point. You're either getting on a plane to go overseas, or now you're missing regular season games, which is different than missing exhibition season. So Nurse is going to want to play a few exhibition games before the regular season gets going. You know, there's some time before that happens, but I think, I apologize, guys, as soon as we finish this, I got to run because our interview subject just showed up, but there definitely are some coming. He is not going to want to hit the regular season cold, and they're not going to want to have him coming on that trip, you know, not having played in any games at all. I don't think that's an ideal situation at all.
I would agree with you, Shocker. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, guys. Sorry to bounce early. We're up against it here.